Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Fox Force 5. All right, Nicola O'Brien, what's the crack?
Hello, Keller. Are you feeling a bit better? We were sick last week, we weren't here.
Yes, yeah. Do you know what? I'm still not 100%, but I am much better than I was last week. Yeah, I just have this weird, really drawn out, really intense cold, which I ended up taking a couple of days off work last week and just like sleeping. And I can't shake it. And I don't know if it's a mix of like a cold, but also hay fever, like serious hay fever at the moment as well.
So yeah, apparently,
I've switched from cold meds to hay fever meds. So
yeah, the pollen in the trees here is very bad at the moment, apparently. So
well, it's all rapeseed over here at the moment. You know, the fields are full of it, like, and they produce a particular type of hay fever as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's all you know now. But I was actually only just reminiscing a minute ago to myself about when I lived in the city and I used to be walking in and out of work every day, you know, like whatever, 10 years ago, I used to take an antihistamine every day because the pollution used to make me sick. So I, you know, I feel like if there's only a few weeks in the year that I'm like in the countryside and I have to take an antihistamine, it's not really a big deal. But sometimes I find they kind of knock me out and other times they don't. Yeah. It's really weird. But so that's my health update.
Yeah, bless you.
How is your health after a very...
My health is hanging in there slowly, getting back to normality.
After a big weekend in the dam.
I had one of the best weekends of my life for sure. The crack was 90 in Amsterdam for the lovely Aoife's hen party. And we had just such a laugh, just laughing. I laughed till I cried like many times. Definitely tested my ability to not wee myself after having a baby because I laughed so hard. Sometimes I was like, if I actually still had a bladder problem, I'd probably be pissing myself right now. And that survived. So, But geez, it was just absolutely gas crack altogether, and so well deserved. Aoife, she absolutely deserved the best. So it was great fun. There was only a small gang of us, so there was seven of us that went over, and then we had the lovely Denise who lives in Amsterdam too for company. So that was great. And Jesus, it was just gas crack. We just made our own fun, like, you know. We, to be honest, we've probably been anywhere in one sense, you know.
I know, but tell the listeners about the King's Day, which was...
Yeah, so the 27th, it wasn't Saturday the 27th.
Is it always the 27th?
Yes, it's the King's birthday. So the day changes depending on who the royalty is. Like, it used to be Queen's Day, and I think it was the May Bank holiday or around
right,
then.
Potentially.
I don't know, that's a distant memory now, but so it does change. And it is their actual birthday. So and then what the royalty does is kind of they go around to different cities every year, and there's like, you know, a parade and all that kind of stuff. In Amsterdam, everyone dresses in orange. It's like Paddy's Day, so just imagine Paddy's Day.
Yeah,
but like, geez, the amount of people. Like, we came out of the metro and it was like a football match was about to start, you know, that we'd walk along in like waves to a concert or a football match,
right?
Like,
and they just kind of gather on the streets and kind of drink,
on the streets and boats, and like people have house parties and stand outside their houses selling shots and pay, you know, we pay to go to their toilet and all that sort of stuff. Like,
that's stuff. That's good.
Yeah. So, like, the neighborhoods have their own kind of parties and stuff. And then, like, during the day, it's quite family friendly. And then, kind of, the evening into the night, it kind of goes a bit mad. But the night before, as well, is a big kind of party night. There's loads of gigs and DJs and all that sort of stuff. And we didn't go to any of that stuff, but we just went to a karaoke bar. But I'd love to go back again and experience it again now that they have gone there first, you know. I would definitely recommend it. And like, the flights weren't impacted or anything like that, and our accommodation was pretty reasonable. We stayed kind of south of the city and just got the metro.
I've not really heard a lot about it before. It's funny, like, it's not turned into like an international destination. Well, you lived there for a while, so
yeah, that's why I knew about it, because I lived there. But like, none of the girls had heard about it when I was like, we should try to go this weekend because it's King's Day. And Aoife was like, yeah, whatever. And then only 2 weeks ago did she start actually looking it up, and she was like, oh my God, this is going to be wild. And it was wild.
Like, I did actually see some stuff on Instagram the last few days of like people on the boats, and like, like watching the people on the boats, and they're like coming up to a bridge and there's people standing up and they're like, oh my God, they're going to get knocked off, and everyone looks a bit pissed. And but like, DJs on boats,
serious
and
parties,
all sorts.
And everyone's going up and down the canals and all that, and serious parties. Like, they're quite good party people, the Dutch. Like,
of course they
like
are,
the party a lot, so it suits them. Another thing, if anyone's ever thinking of going to Holland, I would highly recommend going for Lent, you know, the start of Lent, like Fat Tuesday, Pancake Day, because they do a carnival in the south of Holland where everyone dresses in costumes and just goes crazy. And I'll never forget, we went once and we came out of the train and we were literally wading through pint glasses. It was just like plastic pint glasses. The streets were absolutely packed. Like, they party very well. So, but it was great crack. Jeez, we just had our own fun walking the streets, talking to random people, and geez, it was great crack. So, yeah, just I don't even know what else to say about it. It was the best time ever. Massive bruise on my arse to prove it from falling off the karaoke stage. So, yeah, that's
listen, if you
line.
Don't come back from a hit without like some couple of injuries and sleep deprivation, then you've not been doing it right, have you?
I felt like absolute death on Sunday. Just the exhaustion was wicked. And because I hadn't seen Maeve for 2 days, when I came home, Ger and Lily were like, oh yeah, she's doing this new thing now where she goes, hi, and she waves. She goes, hi.
Stop.
And I was like, what? I was like, my baby's doing something new and I didn't know she was doing it. So I was like very emotional.
Well, sure, it still took her first steps when I was away. I was like raging.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't think I'd been away and I was away and I was like, are you kidding me? Ah!
Oh my God. It was so weird. It was like, she's a different baby. It's like she's a different baby now, my baby. And that on top of like the hangover, on top of the literal no sleep for like 3 days because we went so early Friday morning, and I'm terrible. I don't really sleep properly when I'm kind of drunk and in a different environment. You know, I wouldn't sleep great. But so that, geez, yeah, Sunday was hard day, I must say now. I just watched a lot of Call the Midwife and cried. So
that's kind of what you got to do. That's what I did when I was off sick, actually. I watched a whole series on Disney called Tiny Beautiful Things. Literally cried my way through the whole thing. It's about a girl whose mom dies when she's in her early 20s and she's a bit messed up as a result, but it's kind of flashing back. She's nearly 50 now and it's flashing back between now and then, and her life is a bit of a mess at the moment, and it's about like all the stuff that affected her, and it's really sad. It's nice though, but it is really sad.
But so sometimes you kind of nearly need sad kind of content to have a
kind
to
of
cry.
Yeah,
you know, I feel like it's
kinda
quite therapeutic for a woman. I feel like
I agree,
that suits us to have like this kind of outlet to,
and I don't get to watch that stuff very often because like it would not be up Stuart's street. So it's like when you get to watch the TV on your own, which is like never.
Yeah.
Then it's nice to have something like that that, as I say, is a bit kind of stereotypically girly. But yeah, got to be done. Okay, cool. We better rock on anyway. I'm glad you're feeling a bit better. Hopefully, I don't think we'll have a podcast next week because we're going to Ireland. Well, it's Paddy's wedding, so realistically, it's not going to happen. But hopefully by the week after next, the two of us will be back to full health. Completely full health.
Or else we'll be the complete opposite in hospital somewhere. So God forbid.
I know. The wedding is on the Thursday. So if we don't record for a week, we should be all right.
Yeah,
so
we might
fingers
be okay.
Crossed.
But it's just not. Geez, there's so much on at the moment. I'm just like very lucky. I feel like I'm really like, because the last year being pregnant and missing out on lots of stuff, I feel like I've really, the last few weeks, been living it up.
Yeah, girl. Gotta be done.
But yes, it's been a whirlwind. So yes, looking forward to next week's festivities already. But we've got to rock on anyway.
Okay, number one. So this will come as no surprise to either of us this morning, but seeing yourself on Zoom and Teams causes fatigue.
Fatigue. Interesting.
A study of brain activity has confirmed users' fears that viewing your own image on video conferencing calls leads to mental fatigue. A newly published study conducted by academics at the University of Galway has found that people who took part in meetings on Zoom became more fatigued when they can see themselves on screen. Professor Owen Whelan at the G.E. Cairns School of Business and Economics at the University, and Dr. Anne O'Brien and Dr. Dennis O'Horan. The research also found that men and women became equally fatigued when viewing their own image, a finding which contradicts prior research, which suggested women experience more fatigue from self-view than men. The research team conducted an experiment using, okay, wait for this, it's one of the longest words I've ever had to pronounce, electroencephalography. I think I said it right. Monitoring of 32 volunteers, 16 men, 16 women, all of whom participated in a live Zoom meeting with the self-view mode both on and off at different times. EEG, which is the abbreviation for that really long word I just said, non-invasively records spontaneous electrical activity in the brain using electrodes placed on the head and can detect the onset of mental fatigue. The monitoring confirmed that fatigue levels were significantly greater during the times participants could view their own image. Prior research, which largely relies on self-reported data gathered through surveys and interviews, has suggested that women experience more Zoom fatigue than men. Reasons offered for this gender difference centre on the increased self-awareness women have of their appearance when they view themselves in a mirror. The University of Galway study, which measures fatigue at a neurophysiological level, questions whether gender differences actually exist for video conferencing fatigue. I think it's more interesting that it exists at all than the differences between men and women. But anyway, the findings not only contribute to our understanding of fatigue incurred as a result of the dramatically increased use of video conferencing in the workplace, but also offer practical insights for organisations aiming to protect employee well-being in the era of hybrid and remote working. So Professor Owen Whelan said the use of video conferencing platforms exploded during lockdown. They continue to be heavily used in work and education today and offer some advantages over in-person meetings. But people often report feeling exhausted by video conferencing meetings. Our study shows that those feelings of fatigue you get during video calls are real, and seeing your own reflection makes it even more tiring. Simply turning off the monitor image can help offset fatigue in virtual meetings. It's very funny. I don't know if you've in the last few years been involved in anything online with much younger people. Like, it's a much more common thing if you're in your teens or 20s to have your monitor off. Like, we all always have our monitors on when we're in every meeting, you know, and have done for years. And actually, it would be considered rude to have your monitor off, or weird.
Yeah.
Like, what are you up to? Why don't you have your monitor on? But when I did a couple of courses in the last few years, it was commonplace for people to have their screens off. So there you go.
Yeah, interesting. Because I've only done, like, outside of work where we all have to have our monitors on, like, you have to have them on. I did that postnatal course. I did that online, and we had to have, well, she asked for everyone to put their cameras on, but a lot of people didn't put their cameras on. And we actually did our pre-marriage course as well. Same thing, but they asked people to have their monitors on, and they didn't always. But so, I find as well that, like, a lot of people are getting better at it and will have, like, a ring light and stuff like that to make them look better and all this kind of stuff if you're professionally doing it, like, you know. But what I found was the teeth, like, your teeth and your face, and apparently, like, that was impacting, like, people getting their teeth done and Botox and all that during COVID, because so many people were looking at themselves as well during that period, you know, where you're really looking at your face and seeing every single line and everything, you know.
Yeah, well, I have to be honest, obviously, we've talked about Botox on this before. I haven't got it for absolutely ages, right? One of the main reasons is because I got a fringe. So I was like, this is cheaper than Botox,
for sure,
right?
Yeah.
So anyway, that was fine. But then in recent months, like that, when I'm online, I can see my crow's feet, you know, and they have got worse.
Yeah.
And also I've realized that I'm starting to get a kind of a furrow at the top of my nose, you know, where if I'm kind of, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I can see it.
Oh, my God. It's so annoying. I was like, oh God, I can't escape the Botox. So I have to admit, I've booked in for Botox next week, even though I can't afford it, but I have.
Treat yourself. I'm all about do what makes you feel happy.
Well, you know, it'll make me feel a bit more confident in myself, you know, and stuff like that. And I won't have to look at those goddamn lines when I'm looking in.
You need a bit of rest though as well.
So that's some research by Kelly Crichton, University of fucking Life.
Yeah. Just do it, like Nike says.
Yes, we're no, we don't skirt around these issues here, open and honest. Marion Keyes actually was on something last week. She's everywhere because she was promoting her new book, and she was like, someone was asking her about her, because she looks amazing. She looks like a 15-year-old. Yeah, like,
she looks so young.
And she was like, oh yeah, I get the Botox and I get fillers and I get whatever one of these other injectables is, you know, whatever. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, do you know, it's exhausting lying to people. So I just tell the truth. Yeah, that's what I get. Yeah. Yep.
Sure. Why do people lie about it? You know?
Exactly.
You look great.
So
everyone's just like, you
born
look great.
With a baby's
like
arse in her face.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like you get your hair done. You can't hide that, you know, if you're a certain color or whatever. Like, it's the same kind of thing. If you feel like that's going to make you feel better and look better, then why lie? You know, I don't get it. But
I'm all
for honesty around it. But, anyway.
But also, people only go to reputable suppliers of these things. There's been a terrible incident here this week where somebody's in hospital in Glasgow with sepsis from these Brazilian butt lift guys going around doing like clinics in hotels and stuff. So yeah, just
did I ever tell the story about the plastic surgery on this podcast? About the Turkish plastic surgery story?
No. I don't think so.
I'm just going to interrupt the podcast. Maybe we'll cut short other bits to tell you this wild story. But last time I was in Dublin a few months ago with one of the girls from Dublin. She was telling us a story that the girl who does her hair, her friend went to Turkey to get her boobs done.
Oh,
and it was two different stories, actually. So I'm getting confused between them. But no, she went to Turkey to get her boobs done, came back and was feeling really, really unwell. And they thought maybe it was sepsis or whatever. So she went into, I think it's the Beaumont Hospital, the only hospital that will do kind of follow-ups to when you have surgery abroad like that, cosmetic surgery. Yeah. So she went in anyway, and they found that they had actually stolen one of her kidneys. So she had had her boob job, and they had robbed one of her kidneys, and they were giving her so many strong painkillers that her other kidney was beginning to shut down until she went to the hospital.
Oh my God.
Her kidney was harvested. And another story, another person they knew had gotten their boobs done, all bandaged up, came home, and like, you know, you have to leave your bandages on a few days. Bandages came off and her nipples were gone. No nipples. They had stolen her nipples. So there's been absolute horror stories of people getting plastic surgery abroad.
Jesus Christ. I don't
think it's the best idea, personally. Just some of that, like, why would you risk it, you know? But
yeah, I'd be very hesitant about going abroad for anything like that. You know, just even for the follow-up care and all that. And I know the thing is, to be fair, it's so expensive over here. And then people think, well, I can get it for cheaper over there and it'll make me happy and stuff. And I understand the situation, like, but Jesus Christ, really, is it worth your health? Like, you know?
Mad. But anyway, there you go. That's my story for the week.
Little tangent.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Turn off those cameras, people.
Yeah.
That's the answer to everything. All right. Over to you, Nick, number two.
So everyone's talking about it. Baby Reindeer. Have you watched it?
I've seen the first two episodes, yeah, but I have a feeling it's going to get a bit.
It's very dark. Darker. Yeah, it gets darker for sure. So in case people don't know the story behind it, Richard Gadd, who plays himself, we didn't actually realise that he's so good. He's fucking brilliant in it. His acting is absolutely incredible. He looks so distraught and sometimes in some scenes it's like absolutely wild that he's an amazing actor. So it's basically about this guy, he's a comedian, and Richard Gadd wrote it about himself, but in the TV show his name is Danny, and I think he's obviously fictionalized the name of his stalker, but he had a stalker in his 20s. It's all based on a true story, and it's that story about how this woman started stalking him and the impact it had in his life. The actual, like, so it happened during the mid teens, so during kind of 2015 to 2017 he was being stalked. And he had already kind of gone to the fringe and stuff before that. He always wanted to be a comedian, and had a few kind of shows on the fringe, but I don't think they were as successful. When he, I think actually in 2017, he had one quite successful show, and then went from there to, in 2019, doing a show based on the stalking called Baby Reindeer. So that's where it comes from. She used to call him Baby Reindeer. She stalks him via email and obviously in person as well. And it kind of goes from there. That's the story. But like, I just can't get over how captivating of a show it is. It is like so scary, firstly. And like the way he plays it, he's just so like, oh my God, he's just in bits, you know, and like, it's quite funny. Some of it can be very funny. It's very dark humor as well as being very serious.
Yeah, you find yourself laughing at how mad she is.
Yes, like, yeah. And the way it's written is just brilliant. And I'd love to know exactly how much of it was true and how much of it was maybe.
One thing to point out to people is like, when you say, often when people say stalker or stalking, you kind of think of this person lurking in the shadows, sending messages or kind of, whereas this, they knew each other and they have a relationship like of sorts. But she, it's really dysfunctional. And what I think probably the two most interesting things about it are, it's obviously, we often hear about women being stalked by men, but this is the other way around. And the other thing is that it's an example how abusive relationships work, or how abuse can be so grey, you know, there's no black and white, how people who are being abused don't leave the abuser, you know, the safety they find within those relationships, despite the fact that they're not safe, stuff like that, you know, like it's really complicated. And I think a lot of the sort of domestic abuse charities and things are saying it's actually really good because it kind of delves into that messiness of these codependent relationships that are abusive, you know what I mean? So I've only seen, as I say, I've only seen the first couple of episodes, and the first one I was a bit like, what's all the hoo-ha about? I didn't think it was that interesting.
Like, they're never an actual, they're never in like a relationship or anything like that. Like
no, but they have a relationship. Like they know each other. Yeah, the friendship,
like, they like meet each other, and then it kind of goes from there. Like she comes into his pub and he gives her a cup of tea, and that's literally where it starts. He gives her a free cup of tea. But yeah, it's to be honest, I think it's absolutely incredible. And the fact that he plays himself is wild because, like I said, he's just what an actor. And it's just this kind of torness and this whole like self-deprecating stuff and how like it opens you up to doing things like this and when you're vulnerable like that. And episode 4 is really hard going, so I don't want to spoil or anything, but it's quite hard watch.
I heard some of the stuff that comes up in it. The other thing to say is this week, actually, over here, he came out to ask people to stop trying to find out who the real woman was, you know, which is like, oh God, the world we live in today. It's like,
well, this is it. And I can't get over the amount of stuff he's actually written about. It is so raw and so true. Mm. Like the truth of it is like not flattering to him either. You know, he's not like, I mean, yes, absolutely. He's a victim, but like the way he treats himself and the way he is about himself is so upsetting, and his sexuality and stuff like that. Like, all of that is massively, you know, it's fascinating to watch it play out. But the fact that like he had the balls to write this and release it and put it out there is wild, you know. But
yeah, hard recommend.
It is, it's very, it's like not exactly enjoyable, but it's an excellent watch. And we've just one left in it, and they're quick, they're like 30 minutes each, you know, slightly less even. So it's definitely one to watch. So it's Netflix's kind of number one show.
I must push on with it. Yeah, I've got a load of stuff on the go at the moment, but I want to kind of push on with that because there's so much talk about it. I want to kind of get it done. Okay, thank you very much, Nicola. That was number two. Right.
Three.
Moving along. So number three, our Fox of the Week this week is probably someone I'm guessing you will never have heard of. I had never heard of her. Her name is Lillian Bland. She was an Anglo-Irish journalist and pioneer aviator who in 1910 became one of the first women in Great Britain and Ireland and maybe even the world to design, build and fly an aircraft called the Bland Mayfly. Okay, I'll nip through this quite long, so I'll try and cut it down a little bit. But Bland was born in Kent in 1878 to a family of Anglo-Irish gentry. Around the turn of the century, she began working as a sports journalist and press photographer for various London newspapers, which was probably, you know, a feat in itself at that time for a woman as well. She lived an unconventional lifestyle for the period, smoking, wearing trousers, hunting, shooting and fishing. Good woman. Between 1900 and 1906, following the death of her mother, she moved to Tubbercurran in Northern Ireland. From there, she continued her photographic work, spending days on remote Scottish islands photographing seabirds, which increased her fascination with flying. Her uncle Robert sent her a postcard of the Blériot monoplane from Paris, inspiring her to take up flying. She studied the measurements of the monoplane during the first official aviation meeting held in Blackpool in 1909 and added her own thoughts into the design of her plane, the Mayfly. The Mayfly had similar wings to the Blériot's design, but it could get off the ground by itself. At that point, no one in Ireland had yet made a powered flight. The first would be Harry Ferguson in December, and to make an aircraft would involve building it herself. Her late uncle, General William James Smythe, as an astronomer and member of the Royal Society, provided a house with a workshop and some background reading on the Wright brothers. And becoming inspired by their achievements, Bland successfully built a flyable model biplane with a wingspan of 6 feet. From this, she progressed to a full-scale glider with others' help, which was built from spruce, bamboo and canvas and completed early in 1910. For months of experiments, she made numerous glider flights to improve the plane. The finished glider had a wingspan of 20 feet and 7 inches and weighed 200 pounds. Due to the doubts that were expressed to her about its flying capability, she, with deliberate irony, named it the Mayfly. The resulting Mayfly was tested by gliding it from Carmody Hill being progressively strengthened and tested with heavier loads until Bland felt it was strong enough to take an engine. The load test was done by four Irish constables, since the plane could lift four men. Bland believed it could carry one English engine. She ordered a light 20 horsepower two-stroke engine, blah, 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 blah. Preparations of the Mayfly started in 1909, and the first successful flight was made at Randallstown in late August 1910. A short hop off the ground. While perching on a canvas open-air seat, she manipulated controls to maintain the flight in balance after running forward about 30 feet and stayed in the air for a quarter of a mile. The controls consisted of a bicycle handlebar. Not only did this make Bland the first woman to fly an aircraft in Ireland, but the Mayfly may also be became the first powered biplane in Ireland. She continued experimenting with further lights, mostly around 30 feet flights. Jesus Christ. She continued experimenting with further flights, mostly around 30 feet in length, sometimes requiring examination of the ground to identify when the Mayfly had actually lifted off. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she set up a car dealership in Belfast, got married, moved to Canada, had a child, separated from her husband after her daughter died. She moved back to the UK and became a gardener and gambled her wages on the stock market in the hopes of getting more money. She also wrote a memoir about her life during this time, which is yet to be published. By the 50s, Bland had retired to Cornwall and died at the age of 92. Aww. She was quoted by the Belfast Telegraph for saying that the only excitement left to her was gambling. And she is she died soon after on the 11th of May. And Mayfly was presented to the Dublin Club in Newton Abbey. It was renamed the Lillian Bland Community Park in 2011. At the same time, a stainless steel sculpture of the Mayfly was unveiled. A 2021 exhibition on Irish innovators presented by the National Museums in Northern Ireland featured Bland's contribution to Irish aviation. Zara Rutherford, the youngest woman to fly solo around the world at age 19 in 2022, credited Lillian Bland as one of her sources of inspiration. So there you go.
Very good. Interesting woman. I never heard of her.
Yeah, go out there and do that thing. Don't wait for someone to tell you to do it. Lillian Bland. Right. Over to you, Nick. Number four.
I have a nice simple one for you this week, and I really hope I didn't say this again because I've been following it for a long time, but I feel like it's gotten a bit better lately. It's just the Instagram account at 90s Anxiety.
Oh, I love it.
But it's all just like photos and stuff from the 90s, so it's very straightforward. Sometimes it's just a photo and it'll just be like with a caption, and sometimes it's a photo with a story behind it. So like there's a picture there of a guy that was like given unlimited first class and American Airlines for $250,000. And eventually they were like, shit, like we've absolutely blown this because they needed money at the time. So they started selling this to like loads of people to try to make some money. And then it turned out that like, I mean, some people would literally, this guy in particular they're talking about, would fly, Stephen Rotston would fly to like London for breakfast, Paris for lunch, and then back to America in the evening, like because he obviously all had his unlimited first class tickets. So they just decided that they they've had enough. So anyway, just it's random little stories like that, but I found that one interesting. Like is it about celebs and stuff too? It's not just like, you know, stuff like just in the 90s. Some of it's very celeb heavy as well. And there's like a story.
Nostalgia
about,
buzz.
Yeah, about that BA flight where the pilot was sucked out the window. There's a big story about that as well. And loads of just everything kind of iconic from the 90s. Stories, pictures of actors, actresses, models, all that stuff as well. So it's good. I like it. It's lots of...
Is it 90S
anxiety? 90S anxiety, yeah. They have 2.6 million followers, so they're
wow.
Big account, yeah.
I'm all over it. I'm all over it. Thank you for that. Okay.
Enjoy.
So finally, in our music news, number five. So this is thanks to Niler 9. That's a great music site if you ever are looking for news about music and stuff in Ireland. Niler9.com. The prestigious... Oh, God, I feel like I've got false teeth in today. The prestigious Ivor Novello Songwriting Awards have been announced for this year, and there are three Irish nominees. CMAT and Lancome are nominated for their respective albums, Crazy Mad for Me and False Lancome, in the Best Album category. Rising Dance Pop Chart Act Jazzy is nominated in the Commercial category for Giving Me for Most Performed Work of the Year. The song was co-written with Belters Only. CMAT and Lancome were nominated in the Album category, along with artists Yusuf Days, Sampha and Ray. And Jazzy is up against Pink Panthers, Harry Styles, Central Sea, and Kenya Grace. It continues the recognition of Irish songwriters at UK Awards after both Jazzy and C-Mat were nominated for the Brits earlier this year and Lancome were nominated for a Mercury. The Ivor Novello Awards celebrates creative excellence in British and Irish songwriting and screen composition across 8 categories and has been running since 1956. The winners are announced at a ceremony on Thursday the 23rd at the Grosvenor House in London. C-Met continuing her taking over the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I love the name of those guys, Belters Only. I think it's the best name.
Yeah, Belters Only. It's true, actually. Lancome are taking over the world as well, actually. They're on so many festival lineups.
But can you imagine when you first, like, when you were, like, obviously they'd probably been on the circuit for a while, but then when you make it big and you get all these opportunities to travel the world and perform, you probably would take it all. Like,
the Mary Wallopers are doing massive work as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see them, actually.
Everywhere. I'd say they'd be a great, they're not really my kind of music, but I'd say it'd be a great gig, like, great atmosphere. Good.
I like that kind of Irishy music.
Rousing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing to say, of course, is the old Electric Picnic lineup came out there last week, which was a bit of a disappointment, I think, if people are being honest. But Kylie, yeah, would have been good, but you know,
absolutely,
other than that, me.
I'm also just another thing to mention, because we're not here next week and Eurovision is on next weekend, not this weekend, next weekend. I'm not watching it this year.
I'm not gonna watch it either.
It's a pity, because I wish Bambi all the best. I know some of them were kind of asked just to leave it and stuff, but like, look, that's all obviously their own choice and stuff like that. But I do hope that there's some sort of a protest or the crowd or something, or something happens when Israel perform.
It's very rich that they made such a big deal of Ukraine. A big deal of, to the point where Ukraine won, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That year.
Yeah.
And then they're just like completely ignoring this issue between Israel and Palestine. Like, it's wild that they're so,
it's just so weird. That's exactly it. That they, just the difference, I think, is making people even more outraged, you know, because they're just, it's just completely,
I guess they don't want to be accused of anti-Semitism or something.
Yeah, or being political, but they are totally political. It was totally political when Ukraine won that year and all that. But anyway, it's a pity, because it's one of my favourite things to watch during the year, but we all just have to do our part. But as we're not here next week, we shan't be talking about it, so I just wanted to mention it.
Yeah. Okay, that's the crack anyway. It is a very quiet weekend for us here, trying to get ourselves organised for next week. So, because the kids aren't coming with us, it's like organising all of them and organising ourselves. But then this morning I was thinking to myself, oh, thank God I don't have to do outfits for the girls on top of outfits for me. So that's a little relief.
Nice. Is it a bank holiday? It's not a bank holiday there this weekend.
It is, yeah. It's a bank holiday here as well. Yeah, it is. But I'm working actually on Monday, because I've taken the end of the week off, obviously, with the wedding. But that's it. Any plans for the weekend, Nick? Getting yourself organised?
No,
no trips to Amsterdam, no trips to Europe or anything like that?
No, our cousin Dominic's coming up on Sunday to see us. That'll be nice.
Oh, is he?
Start the wedding week, yeah. It's like a week of wedding stuff now.
Is he not going back between the wedding?
No, he comes to Cork, and then his mum and dad and wife and child are flying in on Monday.
So
Cool. Like, the wedding stuff all starts Wednesday, because he arrives, so it'll be a lovely short week next week. It's like one day work. Well, obviously not for me, but you know, for most people, absolutely, it's one day work, and then the festivities start, so it's nice. It's like the last week of seriousness.
I promise I won't look like this by the time I get home.
Oh, stop. I know the glow up needs to start. I got my brows done and my nails done already, so I'm a little bit there. But wait till I have
tomorrow
my hair done.
It starts tomorrow. I've got so much to do. It's like Michelangelo when he's getting his
If I could fit in like
get the chisel out,
weekend, start
knocking away at the marble now for the next few days.
It's been like the longest since COVID that I haven't got my hair done, because my hairdresser had to cancel on me, so I didn't really care either, to be honest. I'm on unpaid leave, so I could have done without it, but so my hair, I just feel like I'm like a different person, so I can't wait now to have a bit of a
we're emerging from our cocoons, our winter cocoons or something. So obviously best of luck to Paddy and Siobhan on their nuptials next week. Don't know if they listen, maybe they do, maybe they don't. And we'll be back the week after to talk to you all, hopefully you've got some good stuff going on at the moment, and keep listening. Tell your friends. Love you all. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Ciao.